It's Tuesday, the 28th of July. I'm Alec Hogg. This is your BizNews Edge. There's no single big interview leading the show today. Instead, a properly busied morning across politics, regulation, and results. And we bring you up to date on that and what happened overnight and what's happening in the global markets right now. But we start at home with Paula Pala back in court. That's the attempt by his enemies to get Cyril Ramaphosa out of the top job in the country, get him impeached. Then there's a regulatory punch-up looming over political betting. The three sets of major corporate results landing within hours of each other this morning. One had very little impact. The other one saw the share prices up sharply. And the final one, a JSE favorite that's now come under pressure, not living up to expectations. And then finally, we'll get into what's rattling stock markets overnight and this morning all around the world. It's a brutal sell-off in AI and in chip stocks. Let's get into it. Starting with Paula Pala and an update today from our corresponding editor, John Mattison, on biznews.com. You can go and read the story there. In essence, the ATM party's leader, Vuyo Zungula, has taken his fight to the Constitutional Court, appealing last week's High Court order that halts Parliament's impeachment hearings against President Ramaphosa. The catch, Mattison writes, is that the two judges who granted that order by the High Court don't even agree on what it stops. One says everything's frozen. The other says only the evidence hearing is, not the preparatory work. Democratic Alliance leader Jordan Hill Lewis, who's not in Parliament, remember, he serves as the mayor of Cape Town and has purposefully stayed away from being in the cabinet of Cyril Ramaphosa. He wants Parliament to keep preparing regardless, so that it's ready to move the moment the courts clear the way for the impeachment. Not good news for the partners or the biggest partner of the ANC in the government of national unity. None of this touches the merits of the case itself. That's a separate review that's due in September into whether the original panel report was even fair to begin with. Whatever the courts decide, that Paula Paula sofa cash will keep haunting Ramaphosa throughout the election campaign coming up in November. Well, the campaign until the election in November, even though removing him would need a two-thirds majority that the ANC doesn't have. Next, there's a fight brewing in the gambling industry over something that most South Africans haven't even heard of yet. Prediction markets, they're making a big noise globally. Here, not just yet. Well, the South African Bookmakers Association is trying to make sure that they don't even get here. It's released a position paper arguing that platforms like the Global Poly Market, and which is accessible here in South Africa as well, because more than 700,000 rand was recently wagered on who'll become Joburg's next mayor, that these are functionally just betting exchanges wearing a different label. The case of the bookmakers, letting people profit from a politician losing or a policy failing, creates the same match-fixing style incentives that plague sports betting, except they're now aimed squarely at elections and government decisions, with zero South African oversight, taxation, or consumer protection attached. The problem, too, is the depth of the markets, because if you don't have very deep markets where buyers and sellers of ideas can trade against each other in high liquidity, well, then they can be so easily manipulated. The Bookmakers Association's recommendation is blunt: treat unregulated prediction markets as part of the illegal offshore betting exchanges or betting markets until Parliament actually gets round to legislating them. On to those financial results now, starting with Kumba, the iron ore producer, which released interims this morning. They tell a story of a company doing most things right operationally, but the macro backdrop is working against it. The six-month earnings fell by about a third. That's on lower prices and a stronger rand, plus freight and input costs linked to the Middle East conflict. Even so, Kumba generated enough cash to declare a solid interim dividend, and the balance sheet remains comfortably net cash positive. Management held where it had previously put its full year guidance and is leaning on a new efficiency drive to claw back profit margins in the second half. It's a disciplined operator working through a tough patch, not a broken one. And the investors tended to agree. Kumba's share price virtually unchanged today. Well, a recent listing on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange following its acquisition of MultiChoice is the French media group Canal Plus. It also reported half-year results this morning, and the headline number there is a 40% jump in revenue, most of that simply MultiChoice now being incorporated into Canal Plus's accounts rather than organic growth. But the more interesting story is the MultiChoice turnaround underneath it. Earnings there surged after the group killed off the loss-making Showmax streaming service and signed up subscribers here at the fastest pace in a decade. It's worth noting for local investors, Canal Plus now carries a secondary listing on our own JSE alongside London. Full-year guidance from the company unchanged. The shares jumped almost 7%. Well, you've had the no move, Kumba, and the big move, Canal Plus. So the one that fell, and a very surprised one here for many of its fans, Boxer, the wholesaling group that's keeping Pick and Pay alive. Well, there's a bit of a wobble from the company this morning. Not a profit warning, just the market's verdict on a trading update. That was for the 20 weeks in its most recent reporting period. Turnover growth roughly halved over the past 20 weeks because of falling prices on maize meal, rice and flour eating into the rand value of sales, even as Boxer kept adding customers and market share. So the operations of the business still healthy indeed, but it's tough times at the moment, even for a star performer like Boxer. The share price gapped down hard at the opening on the release of the SENS. At one point, it was off by more than 6%, but it has recovered somewhat, still 3.5% down at lunchtime. That extends a slide that's already cost the stock close to a tenth of its value this month. Management insists that profit margins are holding up, but for now, the market isn't convinced. Pick and Pay's chief executive, Sean Summers, will be at the BizNews conference in less than two weeks' time. And he will no doubt have something to say about Boxer as well, because the controlling stake that Pick and Pay has in Boxer more than makes up the share price of Pick and Pay, which tells you that the market generally is thinking that Pick and Pay is not going to come right. The fact now that Boxer's hit a little bit of a bump, well, that won't be good for confidence in Summers' operation. Well, let's get into the international front now, and you've seen a lot of volatility in global markets, not least on the tech side. Some people saying that it's a long overdue correction. Other people saying it's the start of something that is going to hurt investors for quite a while. Well, let's pick up now with our partners at Bloomberg on the latest news, which today is not very good.
A global sell-off in AI-related chip stocks is accelerating as investors question whether the industry's spending boom can deliver long-term returns. In terms of the what's happening in South Korea, SK Hynix has now shed around $570 billion in market value since peaking in June, while Samsung has fallen more than 12% in today's trading. Across Asia, a Bloomberg index of semiconductor shares is on course for its biggest one-day drop since March. Boca Capital Partners founder Kim Forrest sums up how many investors feel right now.
How much are these companies spending and will they ever get it back, right? Is the business model sufficient to drive revenues and earnings higher? And probably at this point, we're thinking more about margins and earnings in the future, right? We don't really care about what's happening today.
Kim Forrest says investors also fear the AI spending boom is becoming increasingly circular. Those concerns intensified after Nvidia unveiled more than $750 billion in new AI deals, including financing for customers buying its own chips. Market fears are also mounting over China's rapid progress in advanced chip making after reports that a state-backed company has begun mass-producing sophisticated lithography machines.
Nvidia's share price was down by 5% last night. And that word circular is worth pausing on because it's the phrase that investors are most nervous about in tech right now. So what does it mean? Circular funding describes tech giants investing in each other, only for the same money to cycle straight back as revenue. Nvidia is the poster child. It's committed tens of billions to OpenAI. They're the guys who run ChatGPT, and to the cloud provider CoreWeave, both of which then spend a large chunk of that same money buying Nvidia's own chips. Sounds a bit like bartering to me. Economists have taken to calling it a financial Ouroboros, a snake eating its own tail. And CNBC's Jim Cramer has openly compared it to the dot-com bubble of 2000. The worry isn't that the technology is fake. It's that its revenue counting might be doing the same work twice and hence boosting the valuations of stocks because the underlying numbers are actually doubling up. Well, not everybody's losing sleep over this, though. Here's Robert Schiffman. He's Bloomberg's senior tech credit analyst, a guy whose job it is to check what the credit is like in the tech sector. And he's got a more balanced and much more bullish take.
If you take a step back, so Nvidia's in the news today, most read article, the sky is falling. But what has Nvidia done over the last 5 years? Its stock, I'm a credit guy, its stock is up 1,000%. Its stock is still up 5% year to date. S&P's up 6-7%. NASDAQ's up 6-7%. We don't go up every single day in equity markets. We don't go tighter every single day in credit markets. So we're going to be a little bit bouncy. But that being said, what gives me my bullish viewpoint is, quite frankly, the fundamentals, the evidence that growth is here and it's only getting bigger and better and it's going to stay hasn't gone away. And the evidence is it's only getting bigger and better. Now, from the credit markets, it scares people a little bit because you have to finance it. You know, you got to put in the work, the time, the effort, and the money up front, and you don't see it for a few years.
Yeah, hello, Alphabet last week, cash flow negative.
Yeah, you know, I would argue, listen, I said this with you guys just 3 months ago when Nvidia reported. I thought it was the best print potentially in the history of the stock market, and the stock was down. Alphabet's numbers were enormous, right? You've heard it. You've heard so many people say the story again today. You know, cloud AI growth was 82% in the quarter, but they boosted CapEx again by another $10 or $15 billion.
Yeah.
So the world starts to freak out that they can't afford it, that there's not going to be enough money to lend to these guys. The cost of capital is getting way too high. And the sky is falling. And quite frankly, it just isn't. I think the real question is, are we spending too much money on something today that we can spend half as much on tomorrow? That's the real fear, is that China comes in and just creates a better, cheaper mousetrap. And everyone's sitting now on, you know, trillions of dollars of spending. And if they just would have waited a couple of years, they could have spent half the amount.
We've already talked about this. Is it the Chinese model where some companies are playing around with it?
Yeah, I mean, this is the DeepSeek scare from last year that we spoke about.
Yeah, and I think the answer is no. If we look back at what happened with DeepSeek, right? It was this sort of moment where everyone was panicky, and then what happened? We hit all-time highs again.
What a fascinating time to be alive. But if you read a book, Engines That Moved Markets by Alasdair Nairn, he used to work for Sir John Templeton, you'll see that you can never predict what's happening today by what's happening in the past, but history certainly rhymes. And that wonderful interview earlier this month with James Gubb, where he'd done a lot of research. He wanted to find out for himself what the AI boom was all about, and where he came to the conclusion that in past cycles like this, past massive innovations, what invariably happened was that those who made the investments, who made the huge CapEx investments, and we're hearing that now from Meta, from Alphabet, from Amazon, these companies were the ones that actually imploded and did not benefit from it. It was the second and third waivers, the second and third purchases who did well, or those who were selling the picks and shovels. Anyway, that's The Edge for today. Thanks as always for spending time with me. For more on all of it, head over to biznews.com. I'm Alec Hogg. Until tomorrow, cheerio.